Welcome to the JMC podcast. Here we go. Welcome to the Just Making Conversation podcast. I'm Caleb Ramsey. To my right is Josh Hall, and then to his right is Michael Holman. We are three dudes in college that are just making the conversation. I'd say that we are sports fanatics that are cultured, so in our podcast we'll probably be looking at a lot of different things with a basis in sports, but we also like TV and long walks on the beach.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Who doesn't?
Yeah. So, thanks, guys.
Yeah, we're excited about this.
Yeah.
We've been talking about it for a little while now, and I think that we can offer things on that everyone's interested in. Obviously, you're not going to be interested in everything that we talk about, but I think that we're going to try to make it a little bit of fun, throwing some bits here and there, maybe have a few celebrities on.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's going
to
be fun.
We're trying to appeal to all audiences here. So if you're a little kid or a mom, you can still listen in. I mean, it might be a little boring at some points, but,
yeah, we'll bleep out the explicitives.
We'll have a cussing version and then we'll have an edited version for you little guys out there.
But yeah, so we're excited. We're hoping not to make them too long. Obviously it kind of depends on the subject and stuff like that.
Just hope Josh doesn't ramble. So,
so yeah, I think it's going to be good time. We hope y'all enjoy it. We'll have a Twitter. We'll have it up on iTunes. Hopefully this is where you downloaded it from. And so, yeah, so should we get into some of the things that we're
gonna... First podcast, we're going to start off with some sports. Just look at the hot topics of the week. It's been a great week in sports, controversial in a lot of ways. So we're going to look at a lot of those things. Then we're going to have, it's the beginning of summer. The three of us are about to graduate from college, actually. So we're going to look at our summer movie preview, tell you the big ones, hint, go Godzilla. And then we're going to look at our TV show, our current TV shows that we're watching right now. And then we'll wrap it up with the overrated, underrated. Just look at some topics that we're going to, because we don't think anything is rated correctly, so we'll tell you if it's overrated or underrated.
So yeah, so hopefully y'all enjoy it. And I think that it'll be exciting, fun. Hopefully this will get you through an hour of work. Or if you're driving somewhere, this will help you out there too. So
let's just get right into it. First topic, hot topic of the week, Donald Sterling. What do you guys make of this whole situation?
The old sleazeball, Donald Sterling. When Adam Silver made the decision to go ahead and ban him for life, I wasn't really surprised. I don't know if he had any other decision, or, if he had any other choice, I guess is better words, than to ban him. The whole league player association was basically against him. So it really doesn't surprise me that he doesn't.
I mean, we knew he was a bad guy before this, and it comes to light now and people start freaking out because we find out, and, oh, he's a racist, when in reality we knew he was a racist this whole time. I'm not super shocked by it, but it only came to fruition whenever it started to hurt the NBA pocketbook, and that's when the hammer was laid down. It's just, I don't know, the whole situation is just super weird and strange.
Well, see, that's where I might disagree, is because I think that the Sterling punishment was too drastic, because we've known this guy's been a racist for 20 years now, and he has a conversation in private with a girlfriend / employee. We don't really know. And then he gets in a lot of trouble for it. And he's having a private conversation with what he thinks to be a friend. And
yeah, but what else do you think, what other decision did Silver have than to completely ban him?
Well, I mean, I know that, I mean, you can say that it's the right decision for the NBA, but I wouldn't say it's the right decision overall, because we know this guy's a racist. So okay, if we wanted to punish him, we should have punished him 10 years ago whenever he was kicking minorities out of his apartments and things. I mean, now, not to do it now just seems too little too late.
Yeah, but did you have the evidence back then to kick him out? See, that's when people are saying, oh, I should have kicked him out. You know, you should have kicked him out 10 years ago. Well, there's no evidence. Now we actually have hardcore evidence to say that, of course, he's, you know, everyone knows he's a racist, but now we actually have the hardcore evidence. You get, what's Stern supposed to do with hearsay? I mean, you can't act on hearsay. You can act on actual evidence that a girlfriend gives to TMZ, and then, you know, and then, I mean, I just don't understand why. At what point could Stern, the old NBA commissioner, if you don't know, at what point could he have kicked him out?
I mean, I wasn't really living in those apartments, so I didn't face those hardships. But I mean, if every time I had a conversation with my girlfriend, because I've had some very weird conversations with girlfriends, if every time that if they were all recorded, then I would get in probably some trouble too. I mean, I'd probably get kicked out of ACU, you know. But I mean,
but have you ever told your girlfriend anything quite that bad that she shouldn't take a picture with a black guy? I mean, that's pretty bad.
I agree. And I mean, I see the point where he's an owner of the NBA. I don't see the point that it's a predominantly black league. I think it's an American. The National Basketball Association has nothing to do with the color of your skin.
I mean, 90% of the players are black. Yeah,
I mean,
so.
No, I understand that, but there's still 10% that are white. So it's a little racist to call it a predominantly black. Yes, there's a lot of African American players, but
it's not racist to call it predominantly black. It is predominantly black.
No, it's predominantly black, but it's not white. A black league.
Well, duh. I'm not saying that it's a black league. I'm saying it's predominantly black.
That was
black
my
league.
Argument that people are upset because he said racist things in a black league, and I mean, those are racist comments anywhere. I mean, it's the NFL, the NHL, because I'm getting off topic. So.
Oh. Well, all right.
Yeah.
I do think where, you know, when Mark Cuban tweeted, you know, it's going to be a slippery slope with getting him out of the league, and I agree. When do I not agree? But I agree that the legal battles, will go on for, I mean, I'm guessing several years. Not only with the girlfriend that supposedly got the voicemail stolen from her and then sold to TMZ, whatever it was, but getting Sterling out of the league to sell his team. I do not think that it is going to be as easy as people think it is.
And I mean, that's going to kill their franchise too, because if I'm an NBA player, I don't want to go play for the Los Angeles Clippers now. And if he's going to be the owner, because you can't kick him out tomorrow. So it's off season, the next off season, he's still going to be around. I could see. I mean, if I'm Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, why would I stay there in the offseason?
So. Yeah, but he has nothing to do with the team.
I mean, if you own the team, then
I know, but he will have absolutely no say in anything. He's basically disassociated with the Clippers franchise as a whole. So I don't really see the big deal of playing.
Well, okay.
For the Clippers.
We go to Abilene Christian University, if anyone was wondering. And Phil Schubert is our president. If Phil Schubert would have said those comments, I probably wouldn't go to ACU. I mean, he's not teaching me, and he's not doing all that stuff, but he still is the face of the university. And just like Donald Sterling is the face of that franchise. So. But I guess Schubert doesn't have a mistress tracking his phone calls, so.
Yeah, that's the one thing that struck me was how weird this whole relationship was. I mean, you guys think they were actually like in love? I don't think so. I think this is a rich, old, creepy man who is just disturbing on so many levels. Mm-hmm. Let me guys just read you some quotes that I saw from V. Stiviano. Her name, the mistress, is V. Stiviano, but apparently she calls herself a personal assistant, not a racist, which, you know, that's a little weird. This is a direct quote from V. Stiviano. I'm Mr. Sterling's right arm man. I'm Mr. Sterling's everything. I'm his confidant, his best friend, his silly rabbit. Wow. That is, I'm not really sure where to go with that. I don't know what you guys think about the whole thing, but that is weird.
Well, I heard part of that interview too, and she said that she loves Donald Sterling, but she's not in love with Donald Sterling. She said that there's never been a relationship that they've had, and that is, if you're going to be called a silly rabbit or silly bunny by him, then I'd You gotta be something more than friends.
That's what all your girlfriends called you, isn't it, Caleb? Yeah.
Caleb the Silly Rabbit Ramsey, I think. Was that?
Oh, yeah. We're not to get into the intimate time, boys. But.
A couple other things about the legal battle that he's going to go through. I was able to read some of the article that the commissioner.
Silver.
Help me out. Adam Silver. Kind of quoted. And a lot of it is extremely stretched to the articles that he's going to be able to use against that to actually kick him out. And there's about 10 little subsections of this article that I do not think hardly any of them relate to what Donald Sterling did. There wasn't anything specifically saying if you say racist comments then you could lose your ownership. One of the closest things that he did say that it could be he willfully violated any of the provisions of the Constitution or bylaws. I'm pretty sure he didn't willfully violate anything. He definitely said some words that he probably wish he could have taken back by now. But and one more that he potentially could have break is fail or refuse to fulfill contractual obligations to the association, its members, players, or any other third party in such a way as to affect the association or its members adversely. This one doesn't even apply at all because Sterling, it's not like he betrayed his partners. He may have betrayed like the trust of some of his players, but I just don't think that Silver is going to have a fun time trying to kick him out of the league.
No. I mean, you kind of go back to my first point in that is that, I mean, he had a private conversation with a lady, but he didn't really break any rules. He's just kind of putting a bad face on the NBA, a bad light in the NBA. So it's going to be tough to tell him that he did, like, that he can't be in the league because of a private conversation where there's no laws against it.
I agree.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we basically, the guy's an old man, he's a sleazeball, and, we agree that he probably should not be in the NBA, and maybe if it's going to be a huge legal battle, we all understand. But, so I think, there's another big sports player.
Sleazeball.
Sleazeball, some would say, that got into some legal issues this past week. And that is Jameis Winston of the Florida State Seminoles, the Heisman Trophy winner.
He was a seafood fan. Is that yeah, true?
I think he likes some seafood, I'm not really – I really don't know why.
He thought it was an all-you-can-eat buffet that you could take.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you don't know the story, Jameis Winston actually got caught stealing crab legs from a restaurant, I guess it was. Mm-hmm. He said that –
it was a supermarket, right?
I think it was a supermarket. Yeah. Okay, it was a supermarket, yeah. And he just – He thought he paid for him or something. I don't know. This is dumb. Does this guy have any sense of knowledge, any sense of there's a spotlight on you for the rest of your life? Just why would he do that?
Well, and that's the thing is, when you look at, he's a potential number one overall pick. And when you look at the last number one overall pick, that was a quarterback, Andrew Luck. That guy was professional on and off the field. He didn't really see that guy make very many mistakes. And then you look at Jameis Winston, he's a wild card. And if I'm an NFL franchise, I'm not spending the best draft pick in the world on a guy that you don't really know his character.
Yeah, I think it's easy to say that now. But from a talent perspective, from an arm perspective, from a skill set perspective, I think once the scouts get one look at this kid, he's a for sure lock number one, unless something comes out that we don't know about him. Because I think at the end of the day, his talent will overcome whatever kind of stupidity and dumb things he's been doing. I will say that, I hope it was good lobster, because that was one of the dumbest things I think I've ever seen. I literally just laughed for about 2-3 minutes on how questionable his behavior was. That just, to me, he's a kid. At the same time, he's very young. We all make dumb mistakes as a kid. I mean, I know I did. But still, at the end of the day, I just don't understand what was going through his mind.
And this guy, he's already been in the spotlight before. If you don't know, he was, he was an alleged rapist, sexual assault.
Sexual assault.
Yeah.
If you haven't read that article.
Still shady. Yeah.
There's an article on, was it New York Times? Or
yeah, NYT article. Yeah.
New York Times article. You should go read that. Just search New York Times, Jameis Winston rape case. It actually came out less than a month ago. Just shows how much of let's just say that the police department in Tallahassee is very football friendly to their players.
Got their hands full of this kid. But that's the one thing I'll say too is we can say that he's a kid. We can write him off and say because these are two stupid mistakes, and we can say that oh he's immature. But as a guy, number one, he's not really a freshman. He's a second year. This is his sophomore year in college. He's a redshirt freshman. Number two, and like I said, Andrew Luck. But if you look at every great legendary quarterback in the NFL, they're all class acts. You don't see any guys. I mean, John Elway, Joe Montana, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. Those guys are definitely John Elway, but those guys are definitely like the seen as the best quarterbacks of all time.
Do you consider Cam Newton a premier NFL quarterback?
Yeah,
he stole a laptop his freshman year at Florida.
Wait, he stole a laptop?
Yes.
Oh, he didn't sexually assault a girl.
Well, that's true. I mean, I guess if we're going to rank bad things. But at the same time, we don't know if he sexually assaulted him. You're just dragging his name through the mud.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, he may have just had intercourse with her. And the girl could have said, yeah, I got raped. Which, we don't know that.
Yeah. I agree, but I think this is a bigger deal than what we're making. The kid's got to grow up.
So would you draft him if you're the number one pick? Would you take him?
I'd have to
look. You're on the clock.
I'd have to look at then I have 5 minutes to digress. But I don't know. I think that I have to look at the talent. Hopefully there's a Jadeveon Clowney to bail me out in this draft. I don't know. Because I couldn't see me trusting this kid with my franchise. Because he's going to get paid millions of dollars. And he's young, but he's got to grow up sometime. So.
Well, I would probably still draft him if I had the number one pick. I think that if he could have left this year, which is another issue, then I think that the Houston Texans would probably, I would say 90% take him, even though Jadeveon Clowney is probably the best athletic, you know, specimen that there has been in the last 10 years. But I think to a certain extent, I think anything with, you know, sexual assault, I think that draws a line on, you know, a character, exactly, a person's character. So I think it's very touchy issue, and Jameis Winston better get his head on right or else. Because if anything else like this happens or, you know, any sexual issues happens, then he better be ready. Because if I were Jimbo Fisher, I would lock that guy in a bubble. I would not.
Like
I
Mike
would,
Leach?
Yeah.
Like you're going to lock him in a closet?
I would get that guy off campus somewhere with veteran roommates and not let that guy get in an ounce of trouble, take away the nightclubs, whatever. He's a professional. He knows it. He wants to be professional. Then he better start acting like it.
Well, that, you could talk about that's another thing is that there's these – in Tallahassee, no one's – like he hasn't really gotten punished. What do you have? He had to pay a $30 fine for the crab legs he stole.
Yeah.
He got off this sexual assault case, which, like we talked about, we don't know what happened. He's just got to be punished. Someone's got to scare him straight a little bit, I think. But I'm rooting for him. Hopefully he does well. But he's got to get his act right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So in other sporting news, the NBA playoffs are going right now. We have quite possibly, the greatest first round of NBA playoffs ever. So if you're not an NBA fan, then, well, this maybe made you an NBA fan a little bit. Probably not. I don't know.
Start tuning in.
I feel like NBA has a niche fan base. I just feel like, you know, if you're not really a fan of a team, you can't just go and watch an NBA game. I don't know. Maybe that's not right. But so we got some exciting matchups, I guess, on Sunday. There's, you know, a couple game sevens on Saturday. We have 3 game sevens. So what do y'all think? How are the NBA playoffs going?
I mean, they're crazy. First off, of course, go Nuggets. We got screwed out of this playoff here. But
Interesting.
No, I think that they've been great so far. So many overtime, so many game winning shots. You hate to watch a guy like Vince Carter make that shot because he's just, you know, not a good franchise overall.
What is he, like 45 years old at this point?
It's time to retire, dude.
Yeah, hang it up.
But yeah, they've been incredible games. It's an incredible amount of talent, and the fact that these games are so close almost every single time, it's incredible. It's the competition. Because people have been saying that you could say the NBA is down, who cares? When the competition's like this, when it's exciting basketball, it's been great. So,
Yeah, I would tend to offer the other side of the argument. I would say they've been terrible as a Rockets fan. Watching my team lose last night in the worst way possible. I don't know if any of you saw it, but my boy Chandler Parsons, who I get a lot of heat for, is my favorite player, hit the game-winning shot and was probably going to be the hero on SportsCenter. And Damian Lillard pulled up and hit a game-winning three.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty funny. Hey, Caleb, we got a clip, yeah, don't we?
That was pretty funny. I wish we had a clip of Mike's reaction.
No, I think I have one. I think I have one right here. Yeah, hold on. Let's play the replay of that.
Yeah. 9/10 left. A three wins the series. It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Lillard got it! Good! And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years!
That was an incredible play.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're sitting here. We were watching with a Rockets fan, old Mike Holman. And, of course, that Parsons play was incredible. And Mike was jumping. It's the most excited I've ever seen Mike jumping up and down.
I ran on the couch. I curled up in that fetal position. Yeah. It was – I'm just glad nobody saw that because I was all out. And
I mean, it was just another excuse for Michael Holman to fall in love with Chandler Parsons, and then it was another excuse for Michael Holman to get his heart crushed by Houston. So what do you think, Mike?
Well, I would say sports are a cruel beast. I felt probably the happiest I've ever felt, and then literally probably a minute later, I felt probably one of the saddest times I've ever had as a Rockets fan. I got many texts. I don't know if many of you guys know about Houston sports, but there's a theme in Houston sports that people from Houston like to say. It's a lifetime of disappointment, and last night just briskly summed that up to a T. We just had a great team all season, and we just didn't play up to our potential or our talent. And it was just, it was pretty heartbreaking. If you listen closely to that clip, you can hear a gun being loaded, and then me entering a bullet and then it being pointed to my head. But then, luckily my friends pulled me back and said, "Hey, we love you, man. It's not worth it." So.
Yeah,
it was pretty funny. It was pretty silent after Lillard hit that shot around the house.
Yeah, I will say Josh Hall, I heard some laughter coming from his side. Inside of my heart, I was like, I love this guy, so I'm not going to freak out. But it was hard. It was tough. He's a Mavs fan, so it's brutal.
Well, that's what stinks, Susie. Yeah, the Houston really went all in this year with Dwight and Parsons and James Harden. But, I mean, Trailblazers look good. LaMarcus Aldridge playing like a man on fire, and then Damian Lillard, he's on fire. These two guys are incredible. Yeah.
And the thing about the Blazers is, watching being a Rockets fan and watching these guys, is that they're so much more than Lillard and Aldridge. Like, they got Wesley Matthews, who's just a bulldog. Yeah. He's on the floor. He's diving around. I mean, if he wasn't a Blazer, I would love that guy to be on my team. He gives 100% effort, 100% heart. Mm-hmm. And Parsons, who people do say there's a bit where I'm, gay for this guy, but I strongly disagree. But anyway, he's my favorite player. Yeah. He came out in the beginning of the series and said, "I'm the best small forward in this series," which is dumb, really unlike him. And Batum outplayed him for four straight games. Outplayed him. He's the only player in the NBA to have a 5-5-5 game, which is like five assists. So he just does everything. He's a great player. They have a D team. I wouldn't be surprised to see them push San Antonio to 7. Who knows? They may even take San Antonio out. That'll be interesting to see. Or, Mavs fans. Or Mavs. I've already jumped to the conclusion that they're going to lose.
It's a Mavs series to lose. Yeah. So it's probably.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, most experts picked Houston to win this series. No one said that it was going to be a cakewalk, but I would probably say that Houston was the consensus favorite. But if any team were to make a run in the Western Conference to the Western Conference Finals, Portland or Houston could be that team. Mm-hmm. So it'd be interesting to see how the West wraps up. The East is the combination of the Heat and the East. Just go ahead and sleep.
Nice.
Don't worry about that conference. The Heat will make it to the finals. They'll sleepwalk their way there. Wow. Then they'll get.
We can debate that a second. I would love to debate that. I mean, of course, I think the Heat will win, but I think the Wizards post a very tough matchup in a lot of places, and we're going very in depth here, so. You can tune out if you're not a huge basketball fan. But John Wall, it's a great point guard. Bradley Beal. And that's where you could say the Heat have their weaknesses. Because Mario Chalmers and then Dwayne Wade is getting old. Because John Wall, Bradley Beal, I would give the advantage to the Wizards. And even inside, Nene and Gortat are very good basketball players. I'd say the only place they have the advantage was Chris Bosh and LeBron James. And then, of course, yes, LeBron James is LeBron James. But
yeah. All right, so enough talking about the Wizards.
NBA.
Hey, I'm a Wizards fan, too.
Can we talk about stats? Start talking about rebounds per game and really get in depth.
All right. Well, that's our NBA talk and sports talk. We're trying to mix it up here a little bit for y'all. After this quick little break, we'll have a summer movie preview, so stick around. And also, this band that we're about to play, it's kind of an undercover band. Most of y'all may not heard them, but a little band called Coldplay. Call it magic. Call it. And we're back. Thanks. That was a. Coldplay, their song Magic, off their new album. So now we're going to talk about the summer movie preview. Obviously, summer is one of the best times to see movies, to see some new movies. You know, there's several new movies coming out, whether it be Planet of the Apes, Transformers, Edge of Tomorrow. There's just the new X-Men movie, new Spider-Man movie that just came out. So we're going to kind of give you all some of our movies that we're most excited to see, and then just maybe some other movies that we're not so excited to see, and some potentially some dark horses. All right, so what do y'all think? What do y'all think of some movies this summer?
Well, I'll get in on my dark horse. My light in the tunnel right now is Godzilla. Hmm. I've been a Godzilla fan. Wow, like the Godzilla industry kind of died in the 2000s and at the start of the millennia. Because I remember in the 90s, I watched Godzilla on HBO with my good friend Eric Frederick, and I remember this because I loved that movie. And it might not have been, looking back, might not have been that great of a movie, but for some reason I loved it. So as a kid, I liked Godzilla, and watching the previews and reading the reviews of it for this summer, it looks great. It looks like it's got a I don't really know the technical terms for CGI, but it looks like it has great CGI.
Yeah, CGI, I believe.
Yeah, CGI, yeah, sure.
That sounds good.
Yeah. And Bryan Cranston, if you don't like Bryan Cranston as an actor, then you don't like life. He's an incredible actor. And he's playing a panicked guy in a Godzilla-infested New York City, I think. So, Bryan Cranston did a great job of playing a crazy scientist, a crazy chemist in Breaking Bad, as his most famous TV show acting.
Never
acting.
Seen it before.
Oh, really?
Never heard of it, yeah.
Interesting. But yeah, I think it's going to be a great movie. It's set up like a dark horse because it's a little bit too sci-fi for some people. I think it looks great, though. It looks like it's going to be a huge magnitude, a lot of fun. So, I'm excited.
Awesome. What about you, Mike?
I like Godzilla. I like Bryan Cranston a lot. Big fan of Breaking Bad. My only concern with Godzilla is, just from the previews, it looks like it's going to be one big giant. And where's the plot in Godzilla? Mm-hmm. It looks like it's just one big giant dinosaur Godzilla running around. Mm-hmm. It looks like I'm just going to turn my brain off for 2 hours and watch Cranston run up and down the street screaming. I'm excited for the movie. I think it'll be good, but I'm not sure how critically well it will do. I think it will sell tickets. But as far as from a critical perspective, I don't know how great Godzilla's going to be. Maybe, Caleb, you might have different ideas on that.
Oh. Well, see, I'm excited. I'm excited to see a Godzilla running around the streets of New York. I mean, he's probably mindless. Kind of reminds me a lot of Dwight Howard in the paint sometimes, looking like an idiot.
Yeah,
But I'm excited because maybe you can turn your mind off a little bit and just sit and watch this insane creature terrorize a city. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
That's true.
I'm not saying that it's going to be a groundbreaking film. It's no Lawrence of Arabia, but it's... I think it'll be a solid summer movie that I would love to see. I'm excited to see. So.
All right. Well, I agree. I would probably see it. I'm not going to say I will see it. There's a potential of me seeing that. But, yeah, I'm excited for that. I think it'll be actually fairly decent. A couple of the movies I'm looking at. Let's see. I actually was a fan of the last Planet of the Apes movie. I think that the storyline actually gets, which is kind of comical at times, but I actually think it is going to get fairly well reviewed, I guess, on their next movie. I think that there's a movie called The Fault in Our Own Stars. That's going to be good. And also there's this movie with, it's called A Most Wanted Man. It's actually Philip Seymour Hoffman's last movie. before he passed away. So I think I'm very, very interested in seeing that. And obviously he's one of the best actors, was one of the best actors there was. So I'm interested in seeing that. There's obviously Spider-Man. I actually was a fan of the first Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield. But unfortunately, this second one's gotten bad reviews. I'm not really...
It's already out, correct?
Yeah, it's already out.
Came out
this past weekend.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a bummer. I still need to see Captain America. I like the first one. The second one got obviously great reviews, and so I'm really excited about that. But what do y'all think about some movies that y'all aren't too excited about?
Well, it's weird because I like superhero movies. There's a lot of talk about superhero movies are being overplayed, and I don't believe that. I think you can't have too many superhero movies because, well, I have no idea why I think that, but I love superhero movies. It's just something I like. So that's what stinks about these bad reviews for Spider-Man. I think it looks like it's going to be pretty good, and then it's getting horrible reviews. And then, but my flop of the summer is X-Men 2, something, go back in time, stupid. I have no problem with X-Men. I love X-Men. Go Wolverine, Hugh Jackman. Good-looking guy. I'm always a fan of that. That maybe sound really
interesting,
homosexual.
I'm not sure.
Maybe we'll edit that out. Maybe we won't.
Let's cut that.
But I don't like the idea to make superhero movies too sci-fi. I don't like, because if you're going to have a Wolverine running around that could shoot claws out of his hands and regenerate, that's cool. But let's not compound our sci-fi-ness into going back into time and changing things in our past. If we're going to do a sci-fi thing, let's keep one sci-fi idea in and eliminate all the other ones. So the idea of having superheroes and a space-time continuum, it just doesn't make sense. I don't think it'll work out for me. They're trying to do too much in one movie. I mean, we'll see, but I'm not excited to see it at all. So.
Yeah. There's a few movies that are coming out this summer that, for me, I'm excited about. They're comedies. They're going to be kind of movies that are going to be really dumb, offensive, but they're going to be hilarious. 22 Jump Street's coming out with Channing Tatum, Jonah Hill. 21 Jump Street, I laughed endlessly in that movie. It was a great movie, really funny. I hope it's not a flop. I could see it not being as great as the first one because of, I mean, how do you really repeat that storyline? I'm still going to see it. I'm still going to buy a ticket. I'm still a fan of Jonah Hill. I'm still a fan of Channing Tatum. Excited to see that movie. Another movie that I'm excited to see as a New Girl fan is Let's Be Cops. Anyone watch that show? Mark Jake Johnson. Damon Wayans. It's going to be a good movie for cops running around like idiots. It's going to be a good movie for that as far as comedies go. And from like an indie perspective, I guess it's kind of an indie movie. Not really, maybe a little bit. But Zach Braff's first movie since Garden State, Wish I Was Here, is coming out. I can see that doing very well critically. You got Zach Braff, Kate Hudson, Josh Gad, who's an underrated actor, a funny guy. So just be watching for those movies. Those are movies I'm watching for this summer. I'm excited for those.
All right.
Has Neighbors come out yet? Or is that coming out?
No, I'm pretty sure that's about to come out, actually.
Are we excited to see that? Because I saw it got a high review, but it just looks kind of stupid. If I wasn't to see the review, I would say it's stupid. But after seeing the review, I'm going to give it a chance. But I still think it just looks mindless.
Yeah, it comes out May 9th. I think I'll see it. I mean...
But would we see it if it didn't get such a high review on... We all respect Rotten Tomatoes, so that's what we're basing our...
Yeah.
Because I don't think I'd see it if I didn't look at Rotten Tomatoes, because it looks stupid.
I'd see it. I like Seth Rogen. Anything he does, to me, is funny. If it got like a 20% on Rotten Tomatoes, there are certain red tomato meters that I will not see. Anything below 25% is a red flag. I won't see it. I mean, you could say, oh, Michael, you're dumb. Listen to the critics. But that's a concern to me, so... Yeah, I know I'm dumb, right, Caleb? But I would see it because it looks funny to me. James Franco, or not James Franco, Dave Franco's in it. He's a funny dude. Seth Rogen's hilarious. I would see it.
I'm interested to see how Seth Rogen does, because I feel like they made a pretty easy decision of casting him. I mean, they put Seth Rogen next to a college house, and him and his wife, and they're having to deal with those college guys. And, I mean... I'm going to guess they joined together and, you know, party it up. I don't know. I just feel like it was kind of an easy casting decision. And so I wish they kind of would have done someone else.
Yeah.
Maybe like an Adam Scott or like a, or just Paul Rudd, maybe someone like that. I just feel like this Seth Rogen was just too easy.
And I think that because it's going to be tough to make Seth Rogen the most mature guy in your movie. Because if he's the dad with a wife, how is he going to be the most mature guy? I don't really see how that's going to pan out. Hopefully he will be. But
yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Okay, I'll talk about a couple of my flops. Movie called Jupiter Ascending. It's basically from the makers of The Matrix. It's supposedly just spending way too much money. Not going to have any of the same effects that The Matrix did. Then there's also a movie that probably won't flop in the box office, but just a bad movie.
Flop in our hearts.
Period. Transformers. Never been a fan. I probably saw the first one.
You were never a fan of Transformers?
I saw the first one, and I thought it was okay.
Really?
Most people liked it for Megan Fox. A couple of them that are just going to bomb. Hercules, who's going to see that? I just think, obviously, there's going to be really good movies this summer. Like, there's a new Step Up movie. I mean, how many can you make?
Have you guys seen any of the Step Up movies?
I've seen all three of them.
You've seen all three Step Ups?
Okay. Okay.
Not even, yeah. That's...
There's a movie called Guardians of the Galaxy by Marvel. It's with Chris Pratt from Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting to see how that movie does, since it's not, like, a well-known brand, such as Iron Man, Captain America. Is Captain America Marvel?
I think so.
So it's very interesting to see how that does because it's not one of those brand names that everyone recognizes. So that could very easily flop.
So what do we think about? I like animated movies. What do we think about How to Train Your Dragon?
I liked How to Train Your Dragon, the first one. I thought it was great.
Because the second one's coming out this summer, am I correct?
Yeah.
Why are they making a second one? What's the need?
That's a good point. Well, the need is money, but
obviously, yes.
But I thought it was good enough to make a second one. I'm going to go see it, and if it flops, it flops. But I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, I actually liked that movie. Yeah. I thought it was good. Now they're making another Planes movie, which I didn't see the first one, and I'm definitely not going to see the second one. But yeah, it's interesting when they do make those, when to pull the trigger. Because if they were to make a Frozen 2, they would print money than they do Frozen. But I don't know if they want to ruin that. Ruin that only Frozen, but I mean, look how many Toy Stories they made and stuff like that. So I'm very interested about this summer. Do you have any more comments? Movies you're looking forward to? Bomb? Dark Horses? Anything like that? No?
Just go see movies this summer because there's going to be good movies. There's going to be crappy movies, but just go. I mean, I know it's expensive, but go with your families, see movies. It's a good experience. And check out some of the ones that we highlighted because I think you're going to enjoy them.
Yeah. How about the economy? I need your help, so go spend some money. These movies will be great. Yeah. And I mean, at the very least, take a nice date out.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
So
watch out for that movie popcorn, though. Lots of calories. Mm. But, all right, another television aspect, I guess. We've been watching a lot of TV shows. They're actually starting to wind down a little bit as they all head into their summer breaks. We've been watching Mad Men. We've been watching... Parks and Rec, Community. There's been, I don't know who watches Scandal, obviously, is huge.
That nerdy show you watch with the dragons and the staff.
Game of Thrones. I could talk about that for a whole podcast. Yeah. But there's just so much quality TV. Suits, forgot about Suits. There's so much quality TV show on that that I think that deserves us talking about it. So what do y'all think?
Well, I think that the first movie we should talk about should be the...
First movie or TV show?
Excuse me.
You can talk about movies if you want to. I mean, I like the movies.
Mine's in the wrong place. Okay, so the first TV show we should talk about, I think, is the biggest one for us, and I think everybody that watches TV shows is Mad Men.
Not everybody.
I'd say everybody that watches good TV shows watches Mad Men. Okay, yes, it's a sweeping generalization. Yeah. Most people that watch good TV shows watch Mad Men.
A lot of white people watch Mad Men, and we're all white, so...
That's true. But I think that this new season of Mad Men is very interesting. It's a total change of pace. So, yes, actually, spoiler alert if you're not caught up on Mad Men.
You should be caught up by now. Yes. If you're not caught up, then we're taping this May 3rd. So, if you haven't been caught up since last week, we're obviously not going to be talking about the episode, the Sunday, May 4th episode. Mm-hmm. So, if you're not caught up by now.
Yeah, then sorry. You're out of luck. Yeah. So, But there's this new thing that they're doing in Mad Men where Don Draper is a nice guy, and he's a relatively nice guy. He's not sleeping with women that he has a chance to sleep with. He's trying to get his old job back. He's actually being semi-obedient. He's cutting back on alcohol. It's a very interesting new spin on Don Draper that, personally, I enjoy. I know he's getting some hate from the critics. We were listening to Bill Simmons last week, and he said that he doesn't like this new Don Draper because it's tough. It's Mad Men's. He said it's Mad Men's go-to move is whenever Don Draper has a little lady in front of him, he's going to sleep with her. And I think that it's good that Don Draper's turning over this new leaf. I like it. It shows character development. It shows improvement in a character. I'm excited about where it's going. So,
yeah, I have mixed feelings. I've absolutely loved this season of Mad Men. I mean, there's only four more episodes, which is just heartbreaking for this season until one more year, another year, where they're going to do another seven. But I like the new Don. He's nice, respectful, but I still feel like the old Don's in there, and that it's just kind of a ticking time bomb to when he's going to explode again. Like, now he has to report to Lou Avery and basically be his handyman, and that's absolutely not going to work. So I think it's just a matter of time before he goes back to normal. And honestly, I kind of like the old Don. You know, he may be a little sleazeballish, but sleeping with every woman he sees, and obviously I don't condone that.
Hopefully Ashley's on.
You are married, so
obviously I do not condone that. Mm-hmm. But Megan is just I really wouldn't care if they
beautiful but boring.
She's the only faithful person on this show. I mean, she can say she's boring, but she stood by Don's side through thick and thin. I mean, Megan's a pretty redeeming character.
She may be a redeeming character. Yeah. I may fall asleep when she's talking.
I mean, maybe, yeah.
But
in real life, though, I mean, let's be real. She'd be the nicest person.
It's a TV show.
That's true. I
mean, she's
easy on the eyes.
She is easy on the eyes. Very pretty.
I loved how they're getting Sterling, Roger Sterling, back in. His performance in last episode was unbelievable. I hope they continue to work on that. Obviously, it's winding down, so they're going to have to, a major plot twist is going to have to come sometime. Obviously, last episode was huge. I'm excited about it. I love it.
Yeah, I actually like the new Don. And I think they're doing a lot of things that Breaking Bad did, where they did kind of resolve an anti-hero, or, I mean, spoiler, if you haven't watched Breaking Bad, then I don't know what you're doing with your life.
Way too late.
But Walter White kind of redeemed himself towards the end. He came back and saved Jesse. And I kind of think the new Don's here to stay. I think the new Don will beat Lou at his own game. He will take care of creative. He will get them back on their side. And I could see an overthrow of Lou coming. That's kind of where I think the show is going, is where Don is not going to explode. And we differ on this. I mean, I'm an avid Mad Men fan. It's my favorite show. I don't know what I'm going to do when it's over. Love the Mad Men recaps. Love everything about Mad Men. I think Don, the good Don, is here to stay out. He may slip up, obviously. But I do think we're going to see a character slowly kind of turn from the anti-hero to have some sort of resolution towards the end. And it's just been unbelievable acting, an unbelievable cast. And Matthew Weiner, I mean, wow. Just kudos to him and his writing job. It's really been incredible to watch and see the character development. And see, because he kind of Peggy turned into Don, which has been interesting, where Peggy's kind of in this character that you root for, and now she's kind of the old crotchety boss that Don used to be, and it's interesting to see kind of how that's happened.
The only problem I see with Don staying a good guy, I don't see that they could do that, because he's got to, I agree with Josh, he's got to explode sometime. I like this new Don, but he's got to explode sometime, because if he doesn't, we're going to have a very boring show, because if he takes over the company, gets his job back, that's all great, but there's got to be an explosion somewhere. Something bad's got to happen sometime.
What is he going to do? Is he going to sleep with the girl, or is he going to drink himself to death? I mean,
I've seen theories everywhere. Who knows? Yeah, I think that he could drink a lot. I've seen a lot. There's a lot of crazy theories going around online, and I don't believe some of those. But I think that he will maybe not revert to his old ways, but I don't know. I honestly haven't. Thinking about it now, I have no idea what he would do.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch. Yeah. I can see where you guys are coming from, where, he might tick, he might blow, but it'll be interesting to watch, that's for sure.
So yeah, it's been a great past few episodes. We're excited about that. Mad Men wrapping up. We all watch Parks and Rec. Huge Parks and Rec fans over here. They just had their season finale. They got renewed for another season. I'm not sure about the next season after that, but Parks and Rec has been known to just take it a season at a time. I loved the season finale. I thought it was great. Felt like a series finale. I just fall in love with Amy Poehler. The whole Chris Pratt, Aziz Ansari, Jerry.
Larry. Yeah.
Just those characters. Cause I hate that Rob Lowe left, but and what's her name? But
Rashida Jones.
Rashida Jones. They were kind of
literally. Literally the best.
Yeah, they were literally like one of the best couples on TV.
It's true.
So what are the shows? What are the shows y'all watching?
That's what kind of sucks. That's pretty much it. Because Community's wrapped down.
Community's great. New Girl's great, but obviously not everybody's favorite show. I think it's hilarious, but it's a little weird humor.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So one show I watch that neither of these two guys watch is Game of Thrones.
And if you're a mom right now, then you might want to.
Yeah, it's pretty graphic.
Pretty graphic stuff.
It is pretty graphic, so I wouldn't...
we'll edit this one out in our kiddie version.
I wouldn't suggest watching it with your parents, but I'd absolutely love it. I think it's great TV. Some plot twists that have happened have been unbelievable. Just blow up social media. I love it. So many characters, so many different kingdoms. Worlds, just everything. If you haven't started Game of Thrones, you need to start. Yeah. It's great. Once you get started watching, it goes by like that.
With your wizard outfit.
Exactly.
Ride a dragon.
Exactly. Another show on HBO Go is Silicon Valley. It's been good. It's been have about 3 or 4 episodes. I've enjoyed that. Just quick 30-minute episodes about obviously Silicon Valley. And
that new one coming out on AMC?
Yeah, I was looking for the title. It's basically, it looks like almost like the computer company, and it's a lot of espionage.
That looks real good.
I'm excited for that. That's an AMC show, and AMC desperately needs shows to save its network. And I think this show, from the previews, we were excited about it. It looks like it could be a good show.
Real good. Because I'm watching Turn right now. It's good. Good, not great, I'd say. I couldn't tell you any of the actors or actresses in it, so it's not like a one that'll blow your mind. But AMC needs a good show. AMC needs that Breaking Bad, and if Mad Men's slowly winding down, they need a show that'll revitalize channel. So
they have Walking Dead, which is basically the most watched television show on the earth.
Is it good though? It's watched, but is it good?
I would say it's pretty good, but
it's decent.
It's obviously good if so many people are watching it and it's the most watched.
Transformers, people see Transformers a lot, so
that's true. But
that show we're talking about is called *Halt and Catch Fire*, and it's just basically based in the 1980s during, the electronic kind of computer revolution.
Boom!
And so I'm excited for that. Be watching for that. Set your TiVos accordingly.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so obviously there's a lot of good shows and movies that you can be watching. We're gonna take a little quick break here, let you enjoy some of our tunes. And then we'll be right back with a overrated underrated game.
Every time I see you in the world, you always step to my girl.
And that was Vampire Weekend with Step. They're another underground hipster band. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but they're pretty good, so you should check them out. The next game we're going to play is called Underrated and Overrated. Here at the JMC Podcast, we don't believe anything in life is properly rated. All three of us are currently actually about to leave college, which is a little melancholy. It's a little sad. We're going to look back on our experiences, say what we said was evaluate what we think is overrated, underrated. We're just going to give you a little take of college, kind of a little mementos, lessons that we've learned. And hope we can add to your experience if you're going to go to college, if you've been to college. Let's open up the floor and see what you guys think is overrated and underrated about the college experience.
Hopefully we can make it through it without crying.
Yeah.
Okay. So what should we start with first? Let's start with college in your intramurals.
Mm.
Yeah, we all like playing intramurals. So what do y'all think? Is college are college intramurals overrated or underrated?
Coming from an athlete,
L-O-L.
A very good athlete.
Define athlete.
Yeah. You can ask these guys when their first intramural championship came, I guess, other than soccer, which isn't really a real sport. It came whenever they met up with this guy, Calvin Johnson, if you will.
Yeah. Let's get to the point here.
I'd say the intramurals are underrated for a lot of people because I see all these people walking around campus that I don't see anywhere. And these people that are kind of nobodies or they don't really...
nobodies.
It's a little offensive, Caleb. Not nobodies, but they don't plug themselves into the ACU atmosphere. They don't plug themselves into college. And so I think that intramurals are a great way to get out there and maybe not meet people, but to hang out with people because it's the gym or the intramural fields are a great place to hang out with people, talk to people, see some friends. It's a very underrated way to be social.
Yeah. I've had a great experience playing intramurals at ACU, but I would actually go overrated. And here's why. Intramurals brings out the absolute worst in people. I don't know if you've ever seen a kid just yell at a referee, just like terribly. And these referees are the same age as these kids, and they're just cursing them out. Every call is questioned. Every kid in intramurals thinks he's the best athlete I've ever seen. You're not. You suck. You're terrible. So I would actually say as much fun as I had in intramurals, as much time I dedicated to it, I would actually say intramurals in college are overrated. That's my take.
I completely agree. I could see both sides of it. Obviously, I would potentially say that they're a bit underrated. I think, like Caleb said, it is a good kind of groundbreaker to meet people. I know some of my friends now that I would have never probably talked to if I wasn't on their intramural team and stuff like that. So in some ways, you know, that aspect of it is underrated. But then again, it's overrated. Like, why do you care so much about an intramural game? Yeah. There's no need to throw a temper tantrum at games. Like people that talk trash during intramural games. Like,
yeah, who would do that? Who would ever talk trash?
Like at times like that where I think it's a bit overrated. So yeah, I think that was a good one. Okay, so what about we go to ACU, you know, big thing at ACU, not just at ACU, but colleges in general are the pledging of the fraternities or social clubs, or the sororities. Is that overrated or underrated?
I'm going to say underrated, which is surprising because I don't really buy into the frat sorority scene, but I would say it opened up a lot of doors for me. You get to meet a lot more people. If you don't act like a douche and totally buy into the frat scene, I'd say it's underrated as long as you don't let it change you entirely and just view it as an experience where you can meet new people, new friends, new experiences. So I'm going to go underrated on that, boys.
I would say I could see both sides, definitely, because I loved my time in the Galaxy fraternity.
Yeah, define fraternity, but yeah, continue. Yeah.
But the way I can see it being overrated is I started running Oxford the semester after we pledged, and that really opened my eyes because I really thought that Galaxy was great. It was awesome. It's what I wanted to do. I found a lot of identity in Galaxy, and then I studied abroad, and I was like, well, Galaxy's cool, but it's not everything. It's not like this all-encompassing thing that I needed to base my life around. I met some great guys there. Great, great guys, but I wouldn't say that it really changed my life like I thought it would. So
okay, I would say it's underrated just because of the aspect where I think you, not necessarily, I just think you get more out of your college experience if you do that. You want to come back for homecomings more. You want to come back for events more because you want to see those guys that you're in club with. So I know from like in like 10 to 20 years, I'll want to come back just because there's a chance that some of those guys that I pledged with, did club with, will come back. And I feel like if I didn't have that experience or didn't, you know, pledge or anything like that, that may not be the case.
But throwing kind of talk trash about those guys, like the guys that come back 10 years after they've graduated and they're like still in the Galaxy and still like gung-ho about Moonies and things, it's just...
I mean, there's to a certain extent, but if they just come back because their friends, their lifelong friends that they met in club are back here, then I don't see a big deal with that at all. Like, I hope I have friends that come back in 10 to 20 years and will want to come back and experience ACU or experience a club breakfast again.
It just depends on what kind of guy you are when you come back. Yeah. Are you pledging the guys when you come back, or are you hanging out with your friends when you pledge? Because I know guys that come back that are 50 or 60, and they're like pledging the guys who are pledging. You're a loser, in my opinion, if you're doing that. What are you doing? I think it just depends on what you do when you come back, in my opinion.
Okay, so what about the free time aspect of college? You know, everyone in the YP life says, gosh, I wish I was back in college just for the free time. You know, you don't do. You get to take naps. You get to sleep whenever you want. You get to
play video games.
You get to do whatever. So, what about the free time aspect of college? Is that underrated? Is that overrated? Is it pretty? I mean, I honestly think it's pretty. Honestly, I don't even know because at times I feel like I feel worthless when I'm just sitting at home. Yeah. And you know, I've had a job all throughout college, and so I feel like it's kind of prepared me for the real life, and I just feel like it may be a bit overrated. You know, people say, oh, you have all the free time in college, and I agree, you do have free time, and you know, whenever you have that afternoon off and you just want to sit in your dorm room and watch Netflix, and I completely understand that. I've done that. I think the weekends, obviously the weekends are good. You can stay up late, even though you have 8 a.m. But I still think it's a bit overrated. I don't know.
Well, I'll say it's underrated from the standpoint of I wish that somebody would have told me how much free time I would have had at like before I came to college. Because that was a tough transition for me was you go to high school from 8 to 3:30 every day, and it's you're doing something, and then you get to college, and you have class for maybe 2 or 3 hours a day, and so you have to figure out what am I going to do with all this free time. And so that's from my perspective that I wish somebody would have told me is that it's underrated is because.
Okay, Mike.
Yeah, anybody that knows me knows I don't really like to just sit around. I'm almost a busybody to a fault, so I would say. Free time for me is highly overrated. I didn't have a job in college, but I'm looking for it. I say this now, and I know when I start my job, I'm going to be looking for the free time like nobody's business. But I would say free time to me is overrated because I constantly have to be doing. I don't know. It's just kind of my personality. I constantly got to be doing something. I constantly got to working on something. So I would say free time is overrated.
Okay. So what about? So we've kind of dealt with the free time aspect.
What do you do in your free time?
Club, yeah. So let's talk about what you actually do during your free time. You know, people say, oh, I wish I could relive the college glory days and go back to all the parties that I went to. So what about the partying aspect of college? I know we went to a small school and small private school, and, you know, the party scene wasn't as much of as relevant, I guess, as the bigger schools. But what do y'all, I mean, do y'all think that's the party aspect of college is underrated? Do you think it's overrated? Do you think that you can still have a good time? Obviously, you can, but do you still...
And not party or...
And, yeah, exactly. So...
I would say, for me, I don't really party. I like, you know, like Rod Kimball in Hot Rod says, I like to party. I don't really like to party. I like to hang out. I like to talk to my friends, you know, have an occasional drink or two, but I don't like to... Just rage, you know, as the kids are saying these days.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd say that nowadays as a fifth-year senior, partying is kind of out of my life. But whenever I was a sophomore or junior or senior, I partied a little bit. I liked to party. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun to meet people, meet girls, meet bros, hang out with bros. It was fun, and it was a great way to have an excuse to go have fun. And I had no problem with partying. I don't see any downsides to it if you do it correctly. It's a fun thing to do. And, yeah, people get super drunk and go drive and make bad decisions. And, yeah, those are the downsides of partying. But I think the good sides of partying outweigh the bad almost every time because of how the social aspect and how much you can get out of it if you do it correctly.
I agree. I think that there's an aspect to it to where you can meet people outside of your crew and still have a good time, and I use it as a way to get to know people and just to get my mind away from school and just as a relax. I mean, it's just relaxing just to chill and hang out with my friends. So I don't know. I would say it's pretty close to being overrated and underrated. But then I guess so our last one is, obviously we went to a small school at ACU. I kind of wanted to talk about, is it underrated or overrated to go to a small college or a large college? Obviously us three went to a small college. And I don't know, is it overrated to go to a school like Tech or A&M to say that you went there Or is it underrated to go to one of those schools because not a lot of friends go there? Or is it underrated to go to a school like ACU because you know that it's small and you'll get to know more people, not necessarily know the professors closer? I don't know. I don't know what they say in the admissions office, but I don't know. So what do y'all think?
I'd say small schools are underrated. I like this atmosphere of a small school. It gives you the confidence of knowing that you're not just a number. You can see everybody in your class. There's not like 500 people in any of my classes. It's a very personalized atmosphere. And like I said, I get confidence from that. I get confidence from knowing that there's not 50,000 other people walking around campus. And I can go to the Bean and not wait in line for 2 hours. It's nice knowing that I'm well known and I can be popular in this situation. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, I liked it too. The one thing that I would say is kind of dejecting is that, like, we don't have all the stuff that big schools have. We don't have the restaurants or that kind of stuff. But I would say just the personal touch of being with, like, teachers and being able to go into their office and talk to them. I know big schools, like, there's big teachers and they talk to, this is what I've heard from my friends, they talk to huge amounts of students and they don't really have much one-on-one contact with their teachers and administrators. I think that's really cool about a small school, just that personal touch of education. And it's just, you know more people, which is good and bad. But at the end of the day, I think it means a lot to me that I went to a small school.
Yeah, and I mean, I just have a hard time. Obviously, I loved my time at ACU, but it just kind of sucks when you go to another big school. Like, say you go to the campus of even like a TCU or I went to Georgia a couple months ago. Like, it kind of stinks. Like, that would be really cool to go to one of those schools, and I probably wouldn't go there. I would still choose ACU, but. And like rooting for sports teams, obviously it's tough. You know, we're not going to get to TCU level anytime soon. But I kind of wish I'll never regret it, but I kind of wish that we had, maybe it's just a sports aspect, so that's what kind of stinks about it.
We were talking about is that we're kind of sports guys and it stinks. We like college sports, but we don't really like ACU sports. Well, we're not. I mean, we'll root for ACU, but we will not claim that ACU is our college team. And yeah. It's kind of sad. I wish that I could, but I can't get into sports here because they're just not. It's a totally different level of competition. And
I agree. So, okay. Well, I hope you'll like that. A little overrated, underrated. We'll try to bring that back every now and then. And so, I guess that wraps up our first podcast. We hope that y'all enjoyed it. Please let us know if there's any topics you want us to talk about. Just anything, honestly, we'll talk about it.
We have a Twitter page.
Yeah, we'll have a Twitter page that, we'll get y'all to follow. We'll send out the link. I just really appreciate y'all for listening.
Hi, Mom.
Spread it to your friends. Tell your coworkers. Tell your pets, tell anyone, because and seriously, if you have any topics for us to talk about, hey, let us know. All right, so hey, seriously, we appreciate y'all listening and we hope y'all see y'all next time. Can I pass away?